This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
If you can hear us.
No. I can. I'm sorry. I was tweeting it out because I wanted to get more friends in here. I'm very excited to be with all of you.
Thank you, Gary. And Gary, we do this round of introductions in the beginning, and we reserve yours here as you join. And last time you were here, you shared a fun fact with the audience that you used to wet your bed until the age of 10 or 12, some amazing age. So we're waiting for another fun fact, my friend. What do you want to tell the audience today?
My fun fact is what is a good one? My fun fact is that I idolize my mother so much that almost every warm feeling that I have from the entrepreneurial community is very traceable to her, and that my obsession with talking about kindness and accountability and empathy, tenacity, kind of this mix of red and blue, as I call it, given the political climate, is 100% because of the way she raised me. And it's almost as if all the nice comments I get in my life are hers, and all the negative comments I get, I take on responsibility for. And I would tell people that and I see a lot of people in here, Kaiju, other Amber, like a lot of people that are on their way, Dennis, not like a lot of people, Jem, a lot of people on their way to getting roses. It's very important not to hear hate because they don't know you. It's more important to not hear praise so you don't ever get confused and never get high on your own supply. And so my fun fact is my mother, Tamara Vaynerchuk, is the single best human being on earth.
That is such an amazing story to hear, Gary. Personally, I admire my mother too. I grew up inspired by her as well. So this is really good to hear. Thank you for sharing that. One of the things that everybody wants to talk about is VFriend Series 2. Tell us a little bit about the evolution of the VFriend series and how this one is going to be different.
Brian, by the way, see you, Panzo. This one's going to be different because nobody's going to be able to make jokes anymore about my third grade art. That sucks. I think one thing that people really forget about the NFT land is provenance. You know, we forgot about that whole game. Everybody talked about that a year ago. Nobody talks about that now. But it was incredibly important to me. I'm on a 55-year journey to try to make VFriends as big as humanly possible into the world, because I want Patient Panda, Empathy Elephant, Kind Kudu, and all these other characters, Compassionate Catfish. I'm gonna do, Gary V is a very limited vessel. I'm a very specific flavor of human being that works remarkably well for many. But doesn't for others. They think I'm too confident or egotistical in their eyes. You know, I curse, you know, I'm an alpha dude, you know. But, you know, Amber, for example, on this call, she really knows me, and she knows the warmth superpowers I have. But most people don't, because I don't know most people in real life, and I'll never have that luxury. And so,
you're the best.
Thanks, Amber. And so, you know, I said, okay, Gary Vee's done a good job, and I've impacted a lot of people, and I'm at the height of my popularity, and I'm really affecting a lot of 15 to 25-year-olds, and I'm proud of that. But let's call a spade. I'm not going to get to all 8 billion people being Gary Vee. VFriends, on the other hand, if I transform from being Mickey Mouse to Walt Disney, if I transform from being Hulk Hogan to Vince McMahon, I can scale this to everybody in the world. You know, little kids in Brazil and Africa and Sweden could be walking around with, you know, backpacks with these characters on them, playing iPhone games, eating cereal with the character on it. I feel like I'm the right man for the right job to build the largest intellectual property in the world that looks like a Pokemon and a Hello Kitty and a G.I. Joe and a My Little Pony, and make it very popular and cool from ages 6 to 99, from ages 2 to 99, fuck it, let's explode the ambition, and subconsciously help the world be nicer while not demonizing being competitive, while not demonizing ambition. The reason the angel in my world, and I think everybody here understands that a lot of people around the 8 billion believe in angels, the reason the angel is the ambitious angel is because we cannot demonize ambition. It is a positive trait. Of course, some people's ambition comes from a place of insecurity where they then want to tear down others. But do you know how many ambitious people bring people along with them? And so I am auditing the world and the world's conversations and the energy of the universe, and the beautiful technology of NFTs has given me a platform to create a universe that I want to impact everyone. And what Series 2 is now it was important because I am the creator for me to draw them originally, to have my soul and energy and belief and everything in it. But now what V2 is the visualization that I will scale. This is what Patient Panda is going to look like. This is what Rare Robot's going to look like. This is what these characters are going to look like. And so it's a very important series. It kind of brings it to the real next place, the place that most people will always know it as. As a matter of fact, in 20 years, people are going to look back at Series 1 when they stumble on it and not even know what it was. They're like, oh my God, there was a different design for the very rare black cat. Like, so that's where I'm going. Another thing that was important to me is continuing innovating. Trading cards, compete and collect, come along with everybody who mints the series. So I wanted to show the world, like I did with VCon and Series 1, hey, how about when we sell NFTs, people get a physical right on the spot. If they want to stay anonymous, the first thing says, click here, don't fill out your address to get the cards. If you don't care about that and you want the trading cards, you'll get them in the mail. I'm going to storytell through that platform. And the third thing, Sanjay, that I wanted to do with V2 was show the world that we have a bad conversation with supply and demand in NFT land right now. Everybody's just making 10,000 PFPs as if, kudos to CryptoPunks that set the tone, and I'm as big of a CryptoPunk collector as there is, or at least not the OGs, but like a modern crypto, I'm very bullish, but there's a lot of people who should not make 10,000 PFPs. They should have made 300. Big shout out to Cole Bennett from Lyrical Lemonade. He made 500, you know, and supply and demand matters. I made 55,555 because it's going to sell out in 1 second. Because I have demand for 1 million. And I want to, and there's a lot of people here who are on their way to creating projects that have a demand for 1 million. And by the way, we haven't even started this NFT journey, Sanjin. Like, we need to get more adoption. Like, I have plans to make a 10 million NFT PFP project for VFriends that might be 39 cents. Technology is not there yet, but like, I'm thinking about these things. And so every time I do a VFriends, which I don't expect to do Series 3 for a long time, I want to inspire, educate, or nothing else, try to take risks that can help the beautiful faces in here, because this community in here, this group, this 2,700 person group doesn't understand how early we are. I can't believe how many people feel like they're competing with other projects. When I see Kaiju Kings dominating and having its run, I cheer for him, right? When I see Moonbirds go bananas, I had friends reach out to me and say, hey, are you upset about Moonbirds? It took so much liquidity out of the market for VFriends Series 2. I'm like, first of all, Kevin Rose is not only someone I admire, he's actually one of my truest dear friends, A. B, even if I didn't know him from Adam, no, nobody's winnings come out of my winnings. And we're all just starting. We need to build each other up. And so let's just talk some facts right now. People are talking about community in this space, but they're not acting that way. We try to act like this place is so special and different than the finance world. And it's not, Sanjin. If you go into the Discords and read the Twitter, I'm watching this every day. People are coming from a place of money. Let's not fucking fuck around in this chat and make pretend around here. People are like, community, 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 when Cool Cats is fucking mooning. But when they have a micro misstep in some people's point of view, everyone's shitting their pants and mad, right? Community, community, right. Community. Right. I had people who made tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions of dollars. And yet any micro misstep, they're mad. How about floor price? How about this? The community, let there be no confusion. There's 10% of people on this call in this community that are coming from an incredible innovation and art purity standpoint. 90% are day trading and flipping and looking at their bag. And they're tearing down other projects because they think their bag is going to go up. They're coming from all sorts of bad human behavior and disguising it under community. And I don't think that's nice. And we need to talk about that. It's okay to make money. I love making money. It's business. It's all fine. I'm not demonizing capitalism. I'm not demonizing, you know, trying to win. I'm not demonizing the human spirit. I am demonizing hypocrisy and bullshit and people talking about community and this is all this, that, and the other thing. But then you look and read the data in the Discords and that, 90% of the conversations are around floor price.
Right.
Gary, I'd argue that. I think that's the vocal minority. Like the bad apple that's ruining it for a lot of communities, right? You get your 3 to 10 members that come into the Discord and they're constantly looking at floor price. And then you have the people that believed in you from the start and they're silently building.
I think that's an incredibly thoughtful point of view. I think being in this game for the last 20 years has shown me one thing. I think that we've had so much prosperity, my friend, in this year that we haven't seen what I'm saying play out fully yet. That when, not if, we have a 2017 ICO situation, when, not if, we have an internet stock 99 situation, I think you're gonna see that 3 and 5 become far greater than you think. You have to look very carefully to diagnose this. Of course people are super pumped when they minted something for 0.08 and they're the original holders hanging out there at 13th floor or 6th floor. But watch carefully, watch people that came in a little later. Like, I get it. And listen, I'm the biggest optimist of all time and believe in the human spirit more than anybody. I just caution everybody to pay attention and let's really think about what we're talking about here. The thought that a owner of a project should spend even a second on the floor or trying to do an airdrop or execute their business based on that's why so many CEOs of public companies fail. They actually worry about the stock price on a daily basis. And this has been shown and lived out on public companies. I call for a little calm around it, but I appreciate your take and I pray that you're right. I just have been around the block a couple times with communities in Web 1, 2, 2.5, and now 3. I think there's, and it's not even anybody's fault. There's so much money being thrown around. I'm empathetic. It's why there's so much scamming. And it's why I want to talk about this for a few minutes, because I think it's intense.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Like, I still think it's definitely cyclical, right? Like, people that, you know, they tell me, and this is the plight of being an NFT founder in some ways, but like, you roll with the punches and you deal with it and you provide value. But you have people that bought secondary that say, hey, I invested $400,000 into you, right? Like, I bought all these NFTs. Like, what are you doing to return my investment? And if they're those just going to flip that,
yeah,
they're just going to flip that later on, yeah, right? Like, how can I infinitely return value against that?
The problem is, in your case and in my case with VFriends, the reason you're seeing that pop up is there's a smaller percentage given the macro market right now that bought at the top and are in this not at the top moment. But the majority of our communities, yours and mine, have done remarkably well. I'm just curious what happens to your and my Discord if everyone's underwater.
Fair.
And so that's the point. I think we need to talk about this. I think we need to start talking about founders and communities need to actually talk about creative and community, and financial is the subconscious conversation across the board. I live in Discord across all the top 200 projects and many micro ones. This is what I do for a living. I consume human interactions, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of vulnerability in the system, and it is project founders' responsibility to be thoughtful about how they're communicating and navigating.
Yeah, so I do want to add that while there are certainly pervasive feelings of, you know, watching the floor, et cetera, I think most of the builders in the community have done a really great job of being very collaborative. So, I mean,
yes,
Pixel Vault,
for sure,
off the get-go, you know, Punk's Comic was sort of an homage to a collection that we loved. And then issue 2, you know, we worked with another community that was very much a part of our own in working with the Bored Apes. And then we did a collaborative drop with Adidas, et cetera. So
I agree with you on that wholeheartedly, comma, because this is important. We're in a very important time in our community's history, comma. Most people consciously or subconsciously that are at the top of projects understand the value of collaboration for their project.
Oh, yeah.
It's good to shake hands.
There is a value. But, you know, to your point, this is still so early that, you know, we want to make the pie larger for everyone. involved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just think we all collectively need to prepare for price correction. And I just want to encourage all the creative, artistic juggernauts in this call to focus on that as much as humanly possible, because that in the end will be what happens. What, you know, for me, there's a lot I can control. I mean, I could, you know, given where I'm at in the ecosystem, I can do 7 to 12 business development things right now that can disproportionately affect the price of VFriends in the next 12 months from a demand standpoint, which would be great. For me, I'd rather focus on why VFriends was created, which is to influence the world, to decide to have momentum around the positive traits of humanity, which are far bigger than the negative. Even though that I'm right now focusing on having a conversation on some of the negative attributes of what's going on, I'm doing that because I feel like there's not enough convo of the truth of what's going on in some of these variables. However, I think to your point, Pix, like, it, like, I love your project, and you know that I've kind of communicated more through AJ than we've had time to jam, but like, there's so much fucking good going on and creativity and people winning that deserve it. Like, this is unbelievable. Let there be no confusion. I'm 96% happy as fuck. I just want to have a little bit more conversation on empathy for all the people buying NFTs, on that they're really pot committed financially, and the community is quite small right now, and we're still a couple years away from tens of millions, and there's going to be a lot of dynamics that play out similar to what I think we saw in internet stock the first time, and we just have to be thoughtful and continue to remind and continue to debate and continue to, you know, ponder, and it's a fun time for all of us, and I'm really genuinely rooting for everyone.
Yeah, I think the important point here is that we should have all sorts of conversation, not just one sort of conversation. Gary, I applaud you for bringing this level of candidness in the conversation. I think it's really important. I think there are a couple of things as well that we want to touch upon, Gary and Amber and others. Is like, I think going back to the spirit of building, creating, creativity, we'll love to also hear. I mean, the VFriend story is amazing. I'm a big believer in it, and I cannot wait to see where this goes. I think when I look at Sean, I think you go by the street name of G-Funk. I want to talk to you about your decentralized Marvel-esque empire. That's what the TechCrunch article wrote about, which was pretty amazing to hear. I mean, your projects are built with the key tenets of Web3 at the center, which is community empowerment, decentralized governance, etc. Walk us through your thinking here. How is Pixel World NFTs transforming the world of superheroes?
Yeah, so thank you for the awesome lead-in. But I want to be clear that Pixel Vault is about a lot more than superheroes, right? We're about sort of turning the traditional media business model on its head, right? We want to be able to create new content that people really have this tremendous desire to see made, but the studios today are unwilling to take the risk on that new IP. And so it's this very unique point in time where communities can sort of vote with real dollars on what they want to see brought to life in the world. And because the community is at such a ground floor in all of these projects, you know, there's a sense that they're building it right alongside of us. And so Pixel Vault has really leaned into not only embracing the art, you know, the pictures, the videos, et cetera, but what makes it a blockchain project? This idea that code is art, and how can we elevate the projects that are under our umbrella in a way that, you know, not only are you seeing really amazing, beautiful things, but things that, you know, lean into what it means to be a Web3 project, giving the community a real vote and a real say. And we're doing things with DAOs that have never been attempted before. People like to joke that it's DAOception, but our MetaHero project has 10 DAOs that'll be operating sort of like states and a federal government, and, you know, trying to find unique ways to get communities to participate in DAO voting, which has been a huge problem. Everyone likes a DAO in theory, but when it comes time to vote, very few participate. So this sort of speaks to some of the problems that Gary's pointed out. But when you really lean into the gamification of these ecosystems and what these tokens stand for, I think we have a really amazing opportunity to not only create beautiful works of art, but to really make the experience fun for everyone involved.
Yeah, I think this is a very interesting approach. I mean, what would even a decentralized Disney look like in your mind? Forget about Disney, pick any name, any media company. What would a decentralized X look like in your mind with this ethos and vision in mind?
Yeah, so Disney is very much more in line with what we're aiming to do, right? Anything that is compelling from an entertainment perspective, that's where Pixel Vault wants to be, whether that be games, sports. We just recently participated in this exciting project called Wag Me United, where about 40 of us and many communities involved purchased a League Two European football club. So that's really what Pixel Vault aims to do, is be on the cutting edge of all of these different entertainment experiences, finding ways to engage our community in the creation of content, finding ways to have real life activations. You know, the next Disneyland might not be a few distinct physical locations that are massive in size. It could be 100 different locations with sort of unique one-of-one experiences at each of them. Truly, literally and figuratively decentralizing Disney. And so I think we're really just beginning to scratch the surface, and anyone that tells you they know the path forward is full of it. I mean, look at how far we've come in a year. When we built Pixel Vault, you know, I saw this as the future, maybe 5 years from now, maybe 10, but we've accelerated incredibly fast. And, you know, none of us got here alone. So incredibly proud of the team that we've built. We have about 35 people full-time now at Pixel Vault, and we have 11 more people in the pipeline. So I think it's tremendously important to support creators in this ecosystem that are trying to upend these traditional business models and bring the power back to the people. And I think that that's what Web3 can do.
That is really exciting. I also heard that you have done some agency deal with WME regarding developing partnerships in Hollywood and beyond. Tell us, the audience, more about that, and how is Hollywood embracing NFT?
Yeah, so there is still a bit of a stigma surrounding NFTs, I think, in sort of mainstream culture. People don't really understand what NFTs do or why they're fetching such ridiculous prices in some of these collections. And so Pixel Vault really sort of aims to be the bridge between old media and new. And I think you're going to see, I mean, we're in conversations with many of them, some of the top creatives in the world bringing to life new ideas that they don't have the ability to do so under existing structures in Hollywood. And so WME has been useful in making those introductions for us, and our early investors have done so as well. And so right now our focus is on using what I'll call an extremely successful proof of concept last year into a really elevated entertainment experience like you would see on Netflix, right? While I think everything that we've done and continue to do is awesome, I think that there is still a lot of room to grow in what media can be in this Web3 space. So using the contacts that we've been fortunate enough to make over the last 6 months to really continue to reach out to the top creatives in the world, whether known or unknown. You know, most of our company is built of amazing creators right here out of the Web3 space. So sort of bridging the gap between old and new and bringing awesome things to life.
That's amazing. And Gary, you have successfully bridged this this bridge, so to say, in your life between traditional media and Web3. Do you see the traditional media companies adopting this and being successful in this new world?
They're going to be forced to.
Just like, what's his name, Walmart and Barnes & Noble, others were forced to adopt internet?
Of course. And to that point, and those are great examples, thank you, those two were able to survive.
Correct.
And get to the other side, but many weren't. And so, you know, to me, this is not even a conversation of if, it's a when, and more importantly, how strong or weak are they when they finally show up?
Yeah, I think the next few years will definitely do that.
Yeah, and I think the next few years, I think people are going to get caught off guard. I was with a friend the other day, and he was talking about building his business and how he used Twitter because it was super early. It was just getting started. And I asked him what year, and he said 2011. And I said, I invested in Twitter in 2007, right? and it hit me because I was like, he's right. Like, he was able to build a food truck and then a QSR business on the back of being early on Twitter in 2011. Yet, that's what I'm trying to tell everybody. Like I wish, Sanjan, that the 3,513 people here knew what their actions are doing right this second. They are so early. And by the way, Benji, Dan Schneider, like some of the people on here like that I see that I've known for a long time, they've been early before, but they're a more mature version of themselves this time, right?
Yeah.
So Brian was early on Web 2, but he was a kid the way I was in Web 1. So Web 2 was his starting point. Now Web 3 Fanzo can do something with. Benji figured out podcasting early, but he was a kid. He's a more mature version now of himself. Dan's been interviewing well since he was probably 3 years old, but like, he's got a platform now. Dan, in 2008, when he was running around, was not the Dan that's right here in the chat now. And I just want, and then there's kids who were like me in Web 1, like the guys and gals I just mentioned in Web 2. Like, you know, Amber worked for VaynerMedia when Web 2 was in its, you know, coming up the game. Now she's who she is. Like
amazing.
I just wish, the reason I'm bringing up that Twitter story is, in 36 months from this exact second, NFT and Web 3 is early. And a lot of people right now realize they're in this special moment and are being impatient because they think they have to grab all the leverage, the fame, the money, the opportunity, the happiness right now. And I would just like to ask them to take a deep breath and attack with a little patient panda, hand in hand with patient panda, and do not compromise your value system for this opportunity, even though it feels profound.
I couldn't agree more with you. I think that food truck example is so amazing. That use case, by the way, imagine you are a product person sitting at Twitter. You probably didn't see a straight line to it, but that did happen eventually. And I think the next generation of innovation that's going to happen will also be something that we may or may not be able to see a straight line to today. But the fact that we are all here talking about it, investing our time and energy and our careers in it is exciting. And we are all super, super early. So let's have a mindset, everybody, that this is a long game and we're all going to make it. With that said.
And by the way,
yeah,
you're going to make it comes in different shapes and sizes.
That's right.
Are we going to make it? Everybody who has a perspective on are we going to make it that is singularly dictated to the financial success is incredibly vulnerable in yes. What matters in happiness, right? And so everyone's going to make it, to your point, but I'm going to add a little clarity to that from my perspective. I could be wrong. You're going to make it because whether you make money, whether you build audience, whether you accomplish your creative goals, you're going to learn a fuckload in the next 4 months, all of which you get to bring to the table in the next thing. And so yes. All of you, by even being in this chat, can't even wrap your head around how much further along you are. Jem and Josh Page and Katie, you know, yeah. McKeever, like you're so far ahead that it's almost uncomfortable. But it's hard to see when you're in the moment, especially if it's the first time you've ever been this far ahead. So right. Just a little patience, a little actual relationship building. This space, more than Web 1 and Web 2, has big money attached to it. Money is incredibly fine and a part of our society, but an incredibly dangerous anecdote to one's mentality. And so just, you know, just thoughtfulness, thoughtfulness, thoughtfulness. Be the bigger person. Be kind. Don't compromise. Be patient. You've got a ton of time to accomplish anything emotional or financial that you want to get out of this moment and this space. Just remember, your reputation, even if you're hiding behind an avatar, precedes you. So don't compromise it.
So true. And speaking of people who are early, Amber, I mean, Gary mentioned you were earlier working with Gary, but now you're doing your own thing. Tell us a little bit about all the work that you're doing at the intersection of art and NFTs. Talk about how you incorporate identity and emotion into your artwork, and what has been your philosophy that has resulted in this success.
That was going to be my fun fact, but Gary wasn't on. I worked at VaynerMedia in my early to mid-20s, which feels like a lifetime ago, and that's actually where I also met my husband, so that was going to be my fun fact. But I would say that whenever we talk about WAGMI, just to touch on the last point, you always get to define what it is. So I feel like sometimes, especially as an independent artist, and I know a lot of independent artists are in this chat too, we see all these projects selling out. We're like, oh man, it'd be really nice for our work to sell at that level. And I think we have to remind ourselves consistently that if you could support yourself as an artist and work by yourself, which has been a goal of mine since I could remember, like, you have already made it, and you could continue to use that patience and use that gratitude and push yourself forward that way. So I always like to remind myself predominantly, but also other artists, that you don't need to be making all these massive sales. I know that our community always talks about making money and being able to retire and all these things and flipping JPEGs. But especially for artists, it's important to know that if you're here and if you're making artwork and you're showing up, like, you have made it in your own sense. But for me in particular, to Gary's point, this is my first time of being super early. I started working at Vayner, was my second job out of college. So I was like 23, 24 when I started. And I didn't really use social media at that time, and I remember reading up on Gary and just being like shocked at how incredibly effective social media was at how it could change my life. Like, I opened my eyes to seeing that I could support myself and kind of bypass the old gatekeepers that artists used to have to face with agents and representation, and to be able to represent myself in social media was incredible. So now taking that knowledge and applying it even further in Web3 has been really lovely, to be able to connect with people that resonate with my work, with my paintings or with my digital pieces and the poetry and the stories behind them. It's been really amazing. And my advice to other artists out there that are starting and that are here, I think I parallel Gary in saying, just have a lot of patience, and it's going to take time, and you're going to discover yourself and use that time to learn a bit more about who you are as a person and as an artist.
That's amazing. And one thing I wanted to do was, we only have 8 minutes left in this session. I want to make sure we cover, all artists that we invited. So Nathan, I think I want to make sure we get to you to have you chat about your work. Tell us, you recently announced that you're entering the play-to-earn ecosystem. Walk us through your vision in that ecosystem.
All right, I might be contrarian here, and I'm going to flip it on its head. Yes, Kaiju Kings is working on a play-to-earn game. Yes, we want to compete with Axie. Yes, we want to build Pokemon. Yes, we want to provide value to you. But I'm fired the fuck up about ownership right now, and Gary talking about money, and everybody talking about money. And I think Kaiju King specifically is about long-term success. It's about the long-term success of the community, the people within it, everything that we do. And, you know, we're talking about liquidity events in the market. Yeah, it's because, are they going to reinvest that $75 million back into the people in their community? Are they going to build something everlasting with them? We had someone use the Kaiju King's ecosystem token to sell Wagyu steak and increase his sales by 100%. Right. There's so many builders in this space that, you know, people FOMO in. There's greed. You want to be a flipper. You want to make fucking money. Think about your long term success. Build something. Like, we're you know, the team's going to build that P2E ecosystem. But the team's also going to invest in you. We donated $1 million to Free Code Camp for open source learning to become a Web3 developer. I'm self-taught. We have multiple members on the team that are self-taught. Like, reinvest in each other, and your community can't lose. That's how we wag me. That's how we're all going to make it. So, sorry. Yeah, that's the, sorry. The, I'm
awesome.
I'm fucked up right now.
They're all good, man. This is,
fucked up with passion.
I
have a funny addition to this. So, to speak to like the true nature of Web3, our founders DAO, which is sort of like the core group of supporters of Pixel Vault, has already put forth a DAO vote while we've been on this call to get me $400 to buy a microphone. So talk about supporting both ways. This is really what makes it special, right? The interaction between us all and building things together.
Can I give you $1,000? Can I give you $1,000 to not get the microphone? Because I never use good equipment, and I love the fact that you're going pure.
I told him that I don't even have a desk. So too busy building Web3 stuff to have furniture.
That's because desks are overrated.
Got to keep it rolling.
Facts.
Who knows what city I'll be in next? Yes.
I love it. I think in the last 6 minutes, I'll just go around the room and ask for the last question we ask in these series. Is like, if you look into the crystal ball, gaze into it, imagine a year out, maybe 2 years out, and name a wish that you want, highlight a wish that you want to see come true in the NFT domain in the next 1 to 2 years. What is that crazy, amazing thing? If it happened, you will be extremely happy and you will love to see that happen. We'll go around the room with Amber first.
I would say in the next 1 to 2 years, I would love to see more artists be able to support themselves within this space and not need to worry about what their following is or anything that the troubles of Web 2 give us. The fact that artists will be able to show up, tell their story, share their work, and really dive in and then financially support themselves, that would be a really lovely ideal in the next few years.
Amazing. Amazing. Let's go to Pixel Wall.
Yeah, I mean, in the next 1 to 2 years, I'd really love to just bridge the gap between what is sort of the mainstream thought about what NFTs and Web3 are all about. And we're aiming to do that through the creation of content, things that we think that people can just really sort of connect with at a deep level. This idea of investing in characters, in addition to sort of like the financial aspect of Web3. And so, you know, we just hope that we can create something that's a really compelling experience, such that, you know, the mainstream understands what this sort of core group of early adopters sees so clearly.
Amazing. Looking forward to that coming to reality. Nathan, we'll go to you and then we'll end it with Gary. Nathan, tell us your crystal ball prediction.
It's close to lunchtime. I want to see more activation around food and community and supporting each other in rewards. You know, we're trying to build out this Kaiju Kings fried chicken brand. So I think, you know, 1 to 2 years, we're going to see a lot of rewards around food and membership access to certain events. So
I love it. You made me hungry all of a sudden. And we will end the show with Gary. Gary, tell us what you want to see happen in the next 1 to 2 years.
That Amber becomes one of the most significant independent artists in the NFT space and inspires an entire generation of hundreds of thousands of young women to become beasts and continues the conversation that I know is in her soul, which is whether it's $40,000 a year or $40 million a year, as long as you live within your means and you feel happy every morning to create, that you can do that. So that's my prediction and hope.
BRB, I'm going to go cry now. Thank you, Gary.
Hallelujah. We all want to see that happen. Well, thank you everybody for joining. I know you all are busy building the community, building your art, and building whatever you do best. So thank you for taking the time today to join us. We will connect again with this audience next week when we hold another session of Biddle Crypto. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Sean. And thank you, Amber, for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Good luck, everyone. Stay well.